Revenge is a dish best served wet. Based on a short story by Jim Soren. Neo Galveston Tech is a fantastic school for a whole hatful of reasons. But one of the things I like best, the scuba club. As long as you're at least 18, you get to go on organized dives on the nearby urban reefs and wrecks in the ocean around the Neo Galveston area during the week. Better? You get course credit for it, too. Neo Galveston is a town of new beginnings. Everyone here has a story, especially me, Courtney Jones. Not long ago, I was a bit of a wild child. And boy, do I have a scorching hot temper. Unfortunately, Neo Galveston Tech is also the kind of place where a rich, beautiful girl can do just about anything she wanted. Prime example of this, Sabine Tanaka. God, I hate her. Her family relocated their nine-figure law practice, probably getting corporate criminals off the hook, to this town, and Sabine swept in like a bad storm. She's a spoiled brat with way too much ready cash to do with as she pleases. About a year previously, I had moved to Neo Galveston hoping to start from scratch. At first, it seemed to work. I was finally beginning to feel good about myself and my life. I was one semester from graduating. And my girlfriend, Jean, was really feeling like the one. Not to mention being my dive partner in the scuba club. Then, Sabine walked into my life, and everything went to hell. Even on her first day at the school, Sabine acted like she owned the place. I mean, yeah, she had the money, clothes, and a car that nobody else could touch. But worse, she's a master manipulator. She wraps people around her little finger and never lets go. Bad enough I had to deal with her around campus, but then Sabine walked into the scuba club and ruined my life. We were all at the dock, ready to depart for a day's diving in the waters around town. At least, we were once Sabine finally showed up. She wanted to make a grand entrance, and being fashionably late was part of the plan. So was her white string bikini. It was about the size of a candy wrapper, and it perfectly showed off her slim hourglass figure. It looked like something out of a Victoria's Secret show. As she made her way down the dock, she didn't so much walk as shimmy. Her short hair was so dark it shone with blue highlights. Her hips and tight little ass bounced as if she were dancing to a song only she could hear. And her chest. Seriously, everything that girl had was jiggling in 10 different directions. In the club, we have rules about this sort of thing. It's just plain common sense not to wear something like that. It's not warm enough in the ocean and it creates distractions on the boat. Which was her entire point. I had to admit, it was a hell of a show. I hated her guts, but she was smoking hot. Like most of the other girls in the club, I was wearing a simple, sporty one-piece suit. It's green, with a thermal lining to keep my core body temperature up in cold water or cool in the warm water near the shore. Now, I don't mean to sound immodest, but in that suit, I look damn sexy. The color sets off my eyes and chin-length brown hair. The cut is perfect for my athletic build. And while I can kind of see my toes if I look down, my breasts aren't exactly small. Of course, with Sabine around, I was chopped liver. Yeah, I was jealous, but that was only the start. The boat headed out to the dive spot. It was a beautiful urban reef about half a mile from shore. Lots of gorgeous sea life, not a lot of hazards. Soon, though, Sabine was surrounded by everyone else, including my girlfriend. Jean laughed at some joke as Sabine wove her magic. I wanted to puke. Then, it was time for everyone to set up their gear, and I busily attended to my stuff, oblivious to what was going on behind me. I couldn't believe my own eyes when I looked up to see Jean already geared up and now helping Sabine into her scuba gear. Hey, Jean? What the hell are you doing?
Well, Sabine is new and she just doesn't have a dive partner. I thought I would show her around and make sure everything was okay.
But you're supposed to be my partner.
Courtney, honey, calm down. This is not a big deal. Besides, Tim's new too, and he still needs a partner you can dive with him today.
Courtney, dear, you don't really mind if I borrow Jean, do you?
I could have spit fire as the two then stepped forward on the platform. The last thing I saw was Sabine reaching for Jean's hand, then turning her head back toward me, staring right at me and blowing me a kiss. Then they stepped off the boat and into the sea. By the time Sabine and Jean hit bottom, Sabine's white bikini was totally transparent. Which is exactly why she chose the suit, of course, in order to help steal Jean away from me. All Jean could do was stare. Sabine's heaving breasts were now fully in view, her dark brown nipples pressed against the thin cotton material of her top, and there was a visible patch of hair underneath her small bottom. Sabine grasped Jean's hand with one of hers and took out her regulator with the other. Then she mouthed a kiss to Jean, who just sat there like she was frozen. Pulling back and slowly swimming away, Sabine cast one long look over her shoulder and smiled as she caught Jean checking out her tight ass. She motioned with one finger, and Jean bolted to catch up with her. Sabine had a wide smile around her regulator. Mission accomplished, goddammit. She knew from this moment on, Jean was hers. It was only days later when Jean came to me to say she was breaking up with me. She was going to be Sabine's girlfriend and full-time dive partner. I went ballistic. In the days that followed, Sabine took every opportunity to rub it in my face. I wanted to slap her on more than one occasion. It must have showed because the bitch made me her primary victim. She used her influence and charms to discredit me and to turn my friends against me. Soon, I was so furious. My so-called friends were hardly speaking to me, and they were all hanging out with Sabine. It only got worse when Jean started going out of her way to avoid me. Then, important school files from the office magically made their way into my equipment locker, and I got suspended until further notice. I knew I had been framed, but there wasn't anything I could do about it. For 2 days, all I did was decide how I'd get back at Sabine. Then, I remembered overhearing a conversation Sabine had with Jean. She talked about a particular wreck she dove every Saturday at sunrise. It was located right offshore. It was perfect. I knew exactly what wreck Sabine meant, having been there a few times myself. I'd get my gear, swim out to the wreck after Sabine went down, stalk her underwater until the right moment, then attack her from behind and scare the heck out of her. The mental image of Sabine hopping out of the water at the nearest beach, stark naked, with that damn bikini tying her hands behind her back, was extremely appealing. In more ways than one.
Saturday arrived. I pulled my boat up to the site of the wreck and anchored there. Today I decided against my home wrecker bikini in favor of my favorite one-piece swimsuit. It's black with an almost silver center panel, bisected by a large tab zipper. Perfect for a chilly morning like this. I slipped into my gear and made ready to dive. With my regulator in place, my hands moved to my breast briefly to caress my already stiffening nipples. Oh, God, I needed this. And with that, I slipped over the side and was gone.
I stood on shore as Sabine's boat stopped off in the distance. I quickly stripped off shirt and jeans to reveal a high-necked, skin-tight black racing suit. Then I shrugged into the black straps of a rented scuba tank. A small, two-lens dive mask would show little of my face. Lastly, I pulled on a loose-fitting dive hood that could go over the mask straps, but come off without dislodging them. My outfit was complete. I was almost a shadow. Adjusting mask and weight belt, I walked into the water, my long black dive fins in tow. The beach was deserted. No one would ever know I was here. I made my way quickly to the wreck, hugging the bottom as I closed within spitting distance of Sabine's boat. I barely made it in time. Settling in, concealed by an arm of nearby reef, I watched Sabine make her way down to the wreck. As she gracefully swam in close, she missed me in the shadows. I found myself fantasizing about her. Not just about the fright I was about to give her, but what it would be like to make love to her. The feel of her hard nipples, that short hair so black it looked blue, waving about as I ravished her body. I felt a twinge down below and shook my head clear. I wasn't here for sexual gratification.
I luxuriated in the feel of the water around me as I yearned for what was to come. I swam past the reef and towards the sunken boat. It had been a large cabin cruiser before it sunk, and the interior was relatively intact. Swimming through the gaping hole in the wreck and down into the first compartment, I once again felt like I was in my own fantasy world. From a ledge, I pulled out a large dive light that I kept stashed there and flipped it on.
The sudden flare of a dive light startled me just before I entered the wreck above Sabine. But, oblivious to my presence, Sabine calmly continued into the wreck, down into the large, intact area of sleeping compartments. As she settled onto the bottom, kicking up a small bit of sand, I entered the compartment behind her and floated into the far corner against the wall. I sank down into the shadows, close but still hidden. As I was getting ready to rush Sabine, she set her light down to the side, illuminating herself, and began unzipping the front of her swimsuit. I continued watching as Sabine proceeded to unbuckle her weight belt and place it on the floor before reaching for her shoulder straps as she eased the tank away from her until she could set it behind her in the sand. I paused and couldn't believe what I was witnessing. The other girl slowly tugged the zipper down, then pulled the front of the suit wide open, exposing her magnificent tits. To my utter amazement, she continued, shifting the crotch of the suit out of her way. As she knelt on the sand with only her mask and fins on, I thought to myself, is she going to do what I think she's going to do?
With my body now completely exposed to the caressing water around me, my imagination caught fire. In my mind, I wasn't alone. A mysterious woman held me down and made passionate love to me deep beneath the surface. I brought my hands up to my breasts and massaged them in unison, caressing and pulling at my nipples until they were swollen peaks. I felt my breathing quicken as my hands moved slowly down my body, caressing every inch of my chest and stomach until I reached the center of my desire. I began vigorously massaging my aching pussy with one hand while I brought the other back up to tease both nipples. I imagined the woman in black burying her face in my pussy, licking and sucking. It felt incredible. I was surrounded by cool water, but every inch of me was aflame. Soon I was leaning backwards, my head waving from side to side. I was overcome by a wave of desire that swept through my entire body and made its way up to my head. Moments later, my mind began to spin as I was lost in the ecstasy that was sweeping through me. How I held the regulator in my mouth, I will never know. It was the most intense feeling of raw need I have ever experienced.
I lay there in the shadows and couldn't believe my eyes. Sabine was slamming two fingers deep into her pussy now, totally lost in the moment. I could hear her moaning from here. The sight was having quite an effect on me, too. I felt the earlier twinges become full-blown fire. If she wasn't who she was, then maybe I could only smile at the thought of Sabine diving this wreck every week for the sole purpose of masturbating 20 feet underwater. Suddenly, I felt the fire in me jump to another level. I looked down and was not surprised to see I'd been unconsciously rubbing my pussy through the material of my shiny black suit. I returned my gaze to Sabine. She was beginning to convulse, deeply lost in her own moment. I was torn. I really, really wanted to come, but I'd never get a better chance for my plan to work than right now. I surged into action.
Control was a distant memory. All I wanted was the massive orgasm I felt rushing through me. I fought to hold out for as long as possible before the coming storm, but it wasn't easy. With my eyes tightly closed and breathing erratic, I began to scream into my regulator. She was almost here. I was about to hit that magical moment of release I so hungered for. Then, all of a sudden, something slammed into me, knocking me over onto the sand. Opening my eyes, I saw a second diver upon me. I tried to get up, but she slammed me back down again. I was on pure reflex. I kicked at the diver, glancing a blow off her shoulder. It did nothing to stop the attacker's advance, though, and now we were both flailing arms and legs at each other.
As we locked in struggle, somersaulting over and over, Sabine lost her regulator and was now rapidly losing air as she fought to break free. Finally, I gained the advantage and latched onto Sabine from behind. Then, I wrapped my legs around Sabine's and also pinned her arms against her chest. Then, all I did was hold on tight. Sabine's lungs must have been bursting from lack of air as she struggled to break my grip on her. Soon, I felt her chest convulse, and soon her body slowly went limp. I quickly went to work. I only had moments before she began actually drowning. All I was trying to do was scare her, not kill her. I used a length of cord I'd stashed behind my tank to tie Sabine's hands together behind her back. Then, with her stretched out on the sand, I put the fallen regulator back into Sabine's mouth and purged air into her. A moment later, she roused. When she began breathing on her own, I straddled Sabine's waist, waiting.
I came to. My regulator was back in my mouth, and I was starting to breathe normally again. I opened my eyes and saw the woman of my dreams atop me. I couldn't make out her features under that hood and obscuring dive mask, but the body wrapped in that black slick suit was amazing. I tried to move, but couldn't. My hands were somehow trapped behind and underneath me. This hadn't been part of the fantasy, but somehow I hoped the rest would also come true.
Sabine moved. She looked into my eyes and her face grew, not afraid, exactly, but wistful. She struggled against her bonds for a moment, but then she arched her back, grinding the hard muscles of her belly against my pussy. The fire roared back, and I almost dropped my regulator in shock. I could see it in her eyes. Sabine wanted me to... Oh, wow. All right, let's have some fun first. Then leave her for her walk of shame. As long as I kept my face hidden.
I stared up at the girl, not sure I wanted her to release me or ravish me. Either way, her eyes went wide with shock, and a moment later she rose up off me. I could see her eyes were fixed on my own, though with that small black mask of hers, I couldn't really see any of her face, especially with that hood on. Damn, she was sexy. She proceeded to unstrap her tank, carefully laying it next to her side, positioning it so she didn't have to relinquish her regulator. My heart fluttered as she did this. I longed to reach up and fondle those amazing tits swaying just inches past my face, the nipples already hard as rocks. God, this girl was sex incarnate. Then, to my utter astonishment and glee, she reached up and fondled her own magnificent breasts through the shiny black material of her swimsuit. After a moment, she hooked thumbs into the edges of the suit where it stretched to cover her bosom. She cocked her head at me, as if asking, "Is this what you wanted?" And God help me, I nodded vigorously. She smiled around her air supply and slowly tugged her shining slick suit together, exposing her firm, white breasts. I continued watching as the girl struggled to remove her fins without moving completely away from me. Finally, the girl had them off and away from her. And then she resumed her position atop my waist, pausing to grind her pussy on me on the way. I still couldn't see who my dream lover slash attacker was, but I was past caring. She slowly brought her hands to her own breasts again and caressed her nipples, tracing their peaks with a light touch. I was so aflame by then I was amazed the sea wasn't boiling. I'm sure my pussy was. A moment later, she gently took my breasts in her hands and caressed their curves until reaching my taut nipples, teasing them with her fingertips until they hardened under her touch. It was beyond words. Every nerve in me was electrified, and all I could do was mentally plead with the girl, "Please don't stop." When she slowly moved her hands away from my breasts and brought them to my pussy, I cried out in ecstasy. After only a short caress, she motioned to me, then pointed to my mouth as she used her other hand on my pussy. As the girl inched forward atop me, I thanked every heavenly entity I had ever heard of. My wish was being granted. I nodded my head to signal to the girl that I understood what she wanted, what we both so desperately seemed to need. She peeled the crotch of her suit to one side, showing a clean-shaven, beautiful, and very swollen pussy.
I waited for Sabine to take several deep breaths from her regulator. Then I pulled it out of her mouth and replaced it with my now aching pussy. The girl began to lick and nibble her way around my lower lips. Soon, Sabine had her tongue attacking my clit. Never, not even with Jean, had I felt anything like this. I began to buck my hips against her chin. I couldn't help it. I felt the waves of pleasure course through me for what had to be nearly 2 minutes before I finally remembered to stop and retrieve Sabine's regulator and allow her to breathe several times. But then it was out just as fast as I repositioned myself atop Sabine's mouth.
After more than a minute of continued thrusts from my probing tongue, I could hear her quietly moaning into her regulator. Her eyes had closed, and her body began to quiver. She began convulsing in rhythm with the repeated thrusts as my probing tongue was bringing her near orgasm. Her body arched against me, and I could feel her impending rush, and I sped up my probing assault. Then I unleashed my ultimate weapon. I nipped ever so gently, directly on her clit.
The painful pleasure seared through my body. My mind went blank as I was lost in an explosion of bubbles and juice. The pleasure so intense that I realized I'd begun yelling into my regulator as my body bucked with each groove that hit, sending me over the edge as I came and then came again. my honey flowing all around Sabine's still probing mouth. At length, I collapse atop Sabine with my eyes still closed, only now starting to hear muffled cries beneath me. Quickly, I rolled off Sabine and stuck her regulator back in her mouth. I watched as Sabine struggled to breathe in deeply, as her chest rose up with each deep breath. After a few more breaths, I bent down, removing both our regulators and deeply French kissing Sabine, probing her entire mouth.
I lay there, at the mercy of this girl on top of me. Yet I was so amazingly, wonderfully turned on by what was happening that I just didn't care. As the diver suddenly bent to take out her regulator and kiss me, I couldn't help but kiss back and met her probing tongue with my own, tasting every inch of her mouth. Watching the other girl come like a thunderstorm, even in my frightening predicament, did nothing but make me want her more. But during the kiss, an incredible thought occurred to me. One person, only one person, knew I dove this wreck. Was this Jean? Then, with no warning, the girl pulled away from me, replacing our regulators and straddling my waist in a kneeling position again. The girl stared directly into my eyes while reaching behind her. My body electrified as she began fingering my pussy again. As I began to ache with pleasure, I saw a smile form around the girl's regulator. She then nodded her head at me as if to say, "Is this what you want?"
Sabine returned the nod, and she herself smiled, her back arching and every fiber of her seeming to scream, "Yes, don't ever stop." I went to work massaging Sabine's pussy with more determination. I gently probed one, then two fingers into her, and she began to buck like a wild thing, screaming into her regulator.
Waves of pleasure began coursing through my body as the girl used her fingers to thrust in and out of me. Speeding up her rhythm, she hit my spot and the world whited out. I clenched my teeth around the mouthpiece as I screamed out, "Oh, Jean!"
I watched as Sabine began to spasm out of control, with her head thrown back and her body obviously on fire. I scissored my fingers deep inside her in opposite directions, and her body reacted. Then, muffled through the water and breathing equipment, she cried my ex-lover's name. The anger crystallized. What the hell was I doing? Why was I making this bitch feel good? Sabine was losing herself in the searing shocks of passion as she did her best to blow the storm building in her, but I was merciless as I continued to press and probe deep inside. I decided I was deeply enjoying these final moments and sped up my thrusts and side speed as I watched her body react to my actions. Soon, Jean's name became a steady chant, rising and falling to the rhythm I set. This was what I'd been waiting for and going towards, even though it was nothing like I'd planned. The anger clouded my mind. I couldn't do it. I shouldn't. This was the bitch who'd ruined me, who'd stolen Jean and destroyed my life. I savagely pulled my fingers out of Sabine's quivering pussy and quickly went to remove the black hood I still wore, pulling it off without dislodging the straps of my mask and letting my chin-length brown hair float free in the water. After taking one big breath, I removed my own regulator from my mouth and waited.
I was lost in the mouth of orgasm that my lover gave me, with an intense pleasure to suddenly wane, and I felt the girl remove her fingers from inside of me. I crashed back to reality.
It took a couple of seconds for Sabine to regain herself as she lifted her head and opened her eyes. She stared directly into my face and knew me. I flashed her a piercing look of hatred as her teeth clenched between her red lips. Sabine squealed in recognition. As she began to move, I did nothing more than to raise an index finger, signaling, "No, no, no." Sabine watched as I continued to bore my eyes deep into hers. I lowered my mouth to Sabine's and, taking her regulator out, savagely kissed her with reckless abandon. Sabine went rigid this time, but soon eased back into the kiss. She accepted me? The foolish little bitch. I finally felt a hitch in my chest and lifted off Sabine, replacing both our regulators. Then, after a short breath, I took mine out and batted my eyes at her, blowing her a kiss as Sabine herself was wont to do. I was surprised to feel that my pussy was clenching with new fire. It ached to be touched. I smiled and waved goodbye.
I felt the erotic euphoria turn to terror as I fought to move beneath Courtney. It couldn't be her, but even so, she felt amazing. Courtney then, without warning, plunged two fingers back into her own pussy and savagely probed as far as she could reach as she thrust her fingers back and forth in rhythm.
I drank in a look of panic on Sabine's face as my orgasm mounted and climbed ever higher. I used my other hand to quickly massage my nipples to swollen peaks again. Then, still atop Sabine, I reached forward and plucked out the regulator. The look of terror that flooded her eyes almost made me come like a rocket right there.
Coursed through me, as I knew I was going to drown at any moment beneath this girl whose life I destroyed. But as I fought the building urge to breathe, my own pussy roared back into life without being touched. Courtney's repeated thrusts were sending her into oblivion as her body ached and cried out for release. She reached for my discarded regulator and with a wicked smile pressed it against her pussy and purged a continuous stream of air deep within her, bringing her to her moment of climax.
I lost all sense as the wonderful, life-giving air was setting my body on fire. Just before I went over the edge, I was able to look down at Sabine, whose cheeks were now straining and red as she fought to keep her breath in. Suddenly, Sabine arched her back and screamed out her stale air as she came in a furious release of liquid passion over and over again, softly screaming into the water, as the dying need for air intensified her explosion even more so. Eventually, she could fight no more, and she inhaled lungfuls of seawater. She shook from the pleasurable pain, at first violently, then softly, then no more, as her body went limp for the very last time. My revenge was now complete. I screamed out victory in a violent eruption as I came in a flurry of bubbles and juices. Wave after wave shook me senseless as I had one orgasm after another, my body shaking back and forth, my head wildly swaying in the water, and my mouth screaming loudly into the regulator. I came like never before.
With a gasp, Courtney sat bolt upright in bed, sheets knotted around her bare legs. Beside her, Jane stirred. It was a dream. Just a horrible, terrible dream. She wasn't a murderer. She hadn't done that horrible deed. Carefully extricating herself from her lover, Courtney tottered into the bathroom and ran the sink for a moment before reaching to splash a handful of water on her face. But then she paused. She knew that she would be seeing Sabine on campus tomorrow. She knew, deep down, those thoughts came from somewhere. And in her mind's eye, she'd never forget the look of horror in the girl's eyes as she'd died beneath her while Courtney came. She turned off the sink in disgust and went back to bed. You've been listening to Revenge is a Dish Best Served Wet, a Pink Cantaloupe production. Heard in the production were Drexia as Courtney Jones, Kay as Sabine Tanaka, and How Wonderful Life Is as Jean Sanders. This is How Wonderful Life Is, your narrator. This production is based on a short story credited to Jim Soren. Mr. Soren did not participate in the production. Pink Cantaloupe asserts that all characters, locations, and mentions within this production are entirely fictional, and any resemblance to real persons or places is entirely coincidental. All characters are over the age of 18. This production is copyright 2017, all rights reserved to original creators, no infringing claims intended.